Welcome one and all to...
Welcome one and all to Radio Free Erica. Second broadcast from base in Montana. And there's... From the YouTube can learn how to yodel CD, which is what I've been practicing from. And the truth is, I haven't been practicing that much. I've been talking about yodeling a lot more than practicing. It's kind of a funny thing to actually practice, but maybe I'll try. I'll try the ho la lo 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 dee, ho la lo oo dee, ho la lo oo dee, oo 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 oo. So there's an epiglottal, like an epiglottal thing. That's just, I'm just turning down the volume on my headphones because I'm kind of blowing myself out. Okay, so there's this epiglottal twist or flip or something that's supposed to happen when you yodel, like, I don't know, it's like one of those vague body things. It's like the hymen or something, like a part of your body that maybe some people have good knowledge about and other people just believe that it exists and that something changes with it. But anyway, so you're supposed to practice until the epiglottal thing happens. And I guess it's ho la lo oo dee, ho la lo oo dee. Ho la lo oo dee, ho la lo oo dee, ho la lo oo dee. And it seems like from reading books about yodeling and from listening to the CD, it seems like everybody who learns how to yodel like had some sort of solitary job, like mowing great lawns or taking care of cows or doing something that had a lot of isolation, where they could just practice these sounds over and over and over again, and everybody says, and then one day it just happened, and this epiglottal shift happens. So it's like this believing that it's really going to happen kind of thing. So, anyhow, that's the yodeling introduction for today. So today is a solo show, which I don't think I've ever done before. Well, I'm sure I haven't done before, because previous broadcasts have had always calling in and out, and the last broadcast here in Basin, it was open studio, and it was sort of a constant flow of people, and then we had Susan Rushing Adams doing her great reading. But today, in true Basin fashion or true Montana fashion, what I had hoped to organize in terms of visitors, people had their own ideas of what they were doing today. And so I decided to continue and broadcast today because there were some things that I just wanted to share and to keep on schedule and to keep on schedule. So we will later in the residency talk with Joy and Claudia, the executive director and the residency coordinator from the Montana Artists Refuge. And I had also tried to convince Barbara Weisberger, who's one of the artists in residence, to come up, but I gave her about 10 minutes of notice, and she was going on a hike, which sounds really great and important to do. So we will talk to all of those people, but not today. Sounds like what I say to Dove, my 3-year-old, all the time. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. So speaking of Dove, my 3-year-old, which I could talk about easily for just the next 2 hours, and I promise I won't, or I promise I'll try not to, but he's had those crazy spots on his body, and then he developed a fever the other day. And so we're going later today to see a pediatrician in Helena. And, so hopefully they can just say, oh, it's fine. The fever is from the, or the spots are from the fever or whatever. But just to make sure. And of course we have this crazy insurance that everybody can feel, everybody's got some crazy insurance, it seems like, but, well, no insurance in terms of the people we know, but this insurance that only covers us in the New York City area unless it's an emergency. So we had to decide, okay, is this an emergency? Do we go to the emergency room and deal with all the unpleasantness that means being in the emergency room but only pay our $50 copay, or do we go to a pediatrics office and pay the $150 to have a, hopefully a more pleasant experience, and also hopefully somebody who really is a pediatrician look at him. So guess what we decided is we're going to the pediatric office, and that's what we're going to do later on today. I guess I started with yodeling, and I guess it felt like the other day was kind of, I haven't really, even when I was broadcasting Radio Free Erica from the gallery at Schroeder Romero a couple of years ago during the Republican National Convention, it was generally less foot traffic, and then I'm not sure what it was, if there was, because there was someone else was sitting in the gallery with me, and I was usually interviewing somebody live, but there was something really self-conscious about the open studio for me the other day, like talking in the beginning without anybody being here, or not anybody being here to speak specifically on the radio, and so I felt like there were a lot of things that I forgot that I wanted to share, so I thought today would be a good day to catch up on those sorts of things. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about Montana and my whole 2 weeks of experience here, and sort of things that have been making an impression on me. And I realize being here, well, one, is a huge privilege, and but two, I'm here in a very specific way, which is within this residency, and I've been indoors a lot, and both because of the weather, there's been just a load of rain. I guess this is the tail end of the rainy season here, and we've had some fabulous storms, and so I've been inside a lot, working in the studio, working with the computer, and editing photographs, and organizing, I suppose, looking at work and writing about work. So I haven't been out hiking. I'm also 6.5 months pregnant, so it's not like I can do a whole load of hiking and traveling with a 3-year-old who really doesn't do any hiking. He does a lot of picking in the dirt, like he enjoys being out, but it doesn't mean covering distance. It doesn't mean the same thing. So I'm having a very specific experience, but there are sort of more cultural things too that we've been participating in, which is like thrift shopping, which also with a 3-year-old is not the easiest thing to do. Well, I don't know what is the easiest thing to do with a three-year-old as opposed to without. But anyhow, there's amazing thrift stores in Butte. It's kind of uncanny, the amount of them. And so we spent some time getting Dusty in there, and some of the sort of more antique junk shops in Butte, and I don't think we've been to any in Helena. We've also been on some really nice put the kid to sleep drives through the hills and along the Boulder River. Yeah, the Boulder River and the Basin Creek. And have been on a couple of nice walks up the Cataract Creek here, which is just walking distance from the building, and there's some amazing horses up that creek, and one that's very friendly. And the horses here have the swishiest tails of any horses I've seen. I've seen a lot of horses, I feel like. And it's interesting driving around, traveling around Montana. It's like the horses' tails are always in motion. And I don't know if that has to do with the amount of flies or the wind or something, but it's very dynamic to like drive by 10 horses that their tails are all kind of going in the wind. And we've seen some amazing horses. I really like, I've only seen one Appaloosa. That was kind of my childhood dream horse. And then the other horses that I really like to look at are the ones that are so gray that they're almost black. And so in some lighting situations, they look gray, and some they look black. And then the same with the ones that are so brown, they're almost black. I like that fur thing. It's almost like the lenticular prints where it flips from one thing to the other. And I've been very impressed about how many colors of green there are here. Just hiking and walking around, and so many shades of green. It's very inspiring and impressive, and from like blue green grasses to black green trees and shadows. And I guess it's because it's the rainy season as well that there's quite a bit of green, that the mountains between the trees aren't brown right now. And I saw a cool spider the other day up the Cataract Creek walk. It looked like a stone, or its tush, its butt looked like a stone, and it was green. It was very green, like a little bit blue green, but it looked like a stone, and then it would scamper, and it was really just the butt. So it was a big spider. There's some big spiders here. There's a big spider making a web in our kitchen, one of our kitchen windows as well, that Dove likes to keep an eye on. And I keep trying to photograph, but every time I walk up there, it's moved off its web. It's very windy today, so maybe that's why. But it's also very big, and but it's more orange, red. And anybody who knows me knows that, well, spiders are my thing I'm trying to come to peace with in the world. And come a long way from hyperventilating at the sight of them to just sort of admiring them from a distance. So I'm looking out. I moved the station back to its original spot out of the middle of the room where it was for the open studio, and I face, I guess, south here, pretty much directly south, and I'm looking out at the Elkhorn Mountains and the tops of a bunch of other brick buildings. It's actually the view that's on the Radio Free Erica website, and it's a pretty lovely view. and the sky is not full of clouds, but there are a lot of clouds, and there's a lot of blue today too. Yesterday, I went to go learn how to fish as well, or have a fishing experience with Dev and Mark. But as soon as we got to the lake, it just started pouring. So Dev and Mark, they cast a few worms out and tried it out in the rain, and I sat under a picnic enclosure and admired them. And it was pretty fun, but it was kind of a drag because we were all looking forward to renting a canoe and paddling around on the lake. But there was thunder, and it was pouring down rain. So we ended up going to eat burritos instead. So today looks like it would be a nice day to go out on the lake. But maybe we'll do that tomorrow. So some other Montana facts and anecdotes that I have written down, and not all of them positive, not all of them negative, but I'll just run through my list and it'll repeat some that I shared the other day. But in reading about Montana, they're the lowest wages paid here in the union, so it's the poorest state in terms of that, in terms of wages. And maybe I'll see, Barbara was really nice. She shared with me their current Queen City News, which is sort of like the Village Voice of Helena, I guess, or the free weekly newspaper of Helena, and it has help wanted ads and I was just going to see if there was a listing here. Let's see. In the Help Wanted section, there's a listing for the Mountain View Medical Center is looking for several full-time positions, certified nurse, full RN, LPN maintenance training, and it doesn't say anything about pay. Driver, take care of your family, join ours. This looks like it's like a long-haul driving. Earn up to $550 a week working through the government part-time, no experience needed. Call today. Location manager in Ross, North Dakota, with main office in Partial highlights seeking a manager to oversee operation of a 110-car shuttle grain facility and agronomy center. Both shuttle facilities are under construction. This position requires a self-motivated person with excellent communication skills and a team player. Send resumes and employment application to Larry Fuller. So this is in North Dakota. And then there's an offset web press man in Goss Community, evenings, vacation, holidays. Apply in person or send resume to Livingston Enterprises. So that's in Livingston, Montana. So there's five help wanted listings in the paper. None of them say what they pay. But we did, in last week's Queen City News, we did see that Gibson Guitars has a manufacturing, their acoustic guitar, they have a manufacturing facility in Bozeman, Montana, and they were offering to pay $10.50 to $13 an hour to be on the assembly line with pay increases after 90 days. Anyway, we're just checking that out. But anyhow, I thought that I would give some examples and that would maybe sort of share the what wages are like here, but it doesn't give any idea of what wages are like here. And I imagine, like everywhere, wages are all over the place, from very low paying to very high earning people. But somehow the average works out to that Montana is the lowest wages in the union. There's the highest crystal meth use in the country in Montana, and there's actually a huge visual campaign that we've seen traveling around, like people have in their windows, like meth watch neighborhoods and billboards with some amazing photographs of disintegrating bodies and stuff with statistics about crystal meth. I think I just said this the other day, but the population of Montana is around 900,000 people, and the population in Basin is between 255 and 300 people. The major industries here in Montana are extractive, which means both logging and mining. We've seen some very impressive flatbed, like semi-trucks loaded up with just trees, basically, like without the pine, but just the trunks of the trees. And the town we're in, Basin, is a former mining town, and I do think that there is still some mining going on, but most of the mines are shut down. Basin is 5,300 feet in the air, and Butte, which is a town just south of here, about 20-something miles, where Dev and Mike are doing the laundry right now, is exactly 1 mile high, which I think is 5,600 feet. Maybe it's 60, is that anyhow? I'm not good with the numbers, but it is a mile high, and they have signs that say mile high in Montana. Montana has more mountains than any other state, and Montana actually means mountains. The speed limit here on major highways is 75. There used to not be a speed limit until the mid-90s. It's also recent that you could not drive with open containers of alcohol. And this is a nice one that Barbara told me, that a lot of times people measure distances or drives by how long it takes to drink a six-pack. So like, oh yeah, that drive, that's a 2 6-pack drive, or that drive, it's a 1 6-pack drive, which is kind of funny. Or specific, or not specific, but it's just different. World's largest and purest copper vein is in Butte, Montana. Oro y Plata is the state motto, silver and gold, or gold and silver. Myrna Loy and Gary Cooper were both born in Montana. And according to this book, The Compass American Guides to Montana, Montana is famous for big sky, fly fishing, Custer's Last Stand, and high altitude cooking. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to speak with Briar from the High Note down the street, and we can talk to her about high altitude cooking and sort of her adjustments for that, because I think she originally comes from Seattle and she does a lot of baking for her restaurant. And so hopefully we can talk to her a little bit about high altitude cooking and what sort of things need to be taken into consideration for that. I know I made some cookies the other day and it was like less sugar, and I can't remember if the time changed or not in terms of, I remember is that it was like a quarter of a cup less sugar to compensate for the high altitude. So another thing that I think is interesting about Montana that Mark and I were talking about yesterday is that people here, it's like a place where people seem like people who are here are really here. And I don't know how else to say that except that it's not like speaking to people, it's not like with sort of a longing to be somewhere else, or with like this vision of it becoming something else, with the exception of one person that I've experienced. But really, everyone is like really here and committed to being here, and sort of like, this is what it is, and this is why I'm here. And That seems really unusual and almost like not human nature in some sort of way, but it's also really wonderful to be surrounded by that, sort of like just sort of this greater acceptance of place. And it just seems like when traveling or visiting other places, there's this always this sort of comparing it to what it's not, or like idea of what it might be able to become, or longing for some other place left, or and I don't get any sense of that here, except for this one case, which I think was specific to the Open Studios event, but there was a group from Butte, Montana, this arts organization that's trying to revitalize Butte and the arts in Butte, and sort of there's this presentation discussion of like revitalizing Butte through the arts, and it sort of had this sense of becoming something grander or potential to become something more grand, and but that seems very sort of specific, like in terms of being invited to speak in those sorts of ways for the Open Studio to like get people excited and aware of what is happening there. And it seems like there's a lot happening there. And I think I said the other day on the air that both Mark and I really, we really liked Butte. It's kind of amazing, like no other place I've been before, with sort of steps. Like, I guess that's the Butte part, the physical, I just looked that up. The physical steps of the landscape in the city sort of climbs these steps in the old part of the city is, I mean, it's just phenomenal with all of these mining rigs from the turn of the last century and housing from that period of time. And Barbara and Eric, who are the artists in residence here, were telling us that a couple of years ago, one could buy a city block in Old Butte for $37,000, so that's a block, a full block of buildings. And it's just a really funky place and visually stunning, and it hasn't become Starbucks, and it hasn't become, like, it reminds me of Los Angeles and my memories of it in the 70s or. Yeah, it was probably the 70s, late 70s, like this sort of Western, still showing some hard times, like this town where my grandmother used to live, like still showed the signs of hard times, like even from the Depression, I suppose. And it has a lot of hand-painted signage, homemade signage, and brick buildings, and it just is, it's really a beautiful place. In that sort of way of like intervening in the landscape and building a city. And yeah, it's just not all polished, and it's not all cookie cutter. It doesn't look like everywhere else in America, which is one of the hardest things about driving the major highway from New York to here, like just after 5 days of stopping in chain motels and eating, I guess not so much in chains, but eating in places where it seems like it's the same exact menu as the place before, and sort of this expectation of just everything, wanting everything to be the same and familiar, and It's just so fabulous to find some place that's not familiar. I guess that's the thing. It's just so fabulous to find a place that's not familiar. And that's hard to do these days, it seems like, because you kind of can look at the landscape and you can tell from the architecture what sorts of businesses or what sorts of homes and social classes live where. And I think Butte felt still, it felt very surprising. Maybe it's time to try yodeling again. Oh, ooh, 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 oh, ooh. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. So one of my biggest cultural references for yodeling is, of course, the Sound of Music. And what's Mercedes? No, that's not it. What's the high on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay yodelay yodelay hee hoo. Soon, oh, I can't remember all the words, but I'll sing some of the words. Some of the words. Let's see. High on the hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, odelay, odelay, hee hee. Soon her mama was a gleaming goat herd, lay, odelay, odeloo. Oh, oh, lay, odelay, oh, 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 lady, odelay. Oh, oh, lady, odelay, oh, lady, odelay, oh, lay. Do, 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 do. So in eighth grade, I tried out for our school's musical and sang, what was it, like, the favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things. And was not picked to be in the school musical. And yeah, I still think that singing from the Sound of Music made me think of that. And so why yodeling? Because there's something so dumb and fabulous about it, and something so unselfconscious about it, and I really like, well, kind of dumb folk. And dumb, I don't mean stupid dumb. I just mean like let's look up dumb online. There's some things that are so everyday about it, I mean, but no longer everyday. But I guess I like the things that were dumb at one point, but now are not in that same. I know I'm not being articulate because I'm going to type in the word dumb and see what comes up here. So since I'm doing this through dial-up, it's very slow, and hopefully it won't kick everything. Kick everything offline. Dictionary, dumb. So it's sort of like how to describe this lenticular process of making photographs, like a sort of a dumb, clunky process, like there's something sort of dumb and I guess clunky for me, but extraordinarily graceful for others, process in yodeling. Dumber, dumbest, lacking the power of speech, used of animals and inanimate objects, incapable of using speech, mute, used of humans, temporarily speechless, as with shock or fear, I was dumb with disbelief, unwilling to speak, taciturn, not expressed or articulated in sound or word, dumb resentment. Nautical, not self-propelling, conspicuously unintelligent, stupid, dumb officials, a dumb decision, unintentional, haphazard, dumb look. So, I'm not finding what I'm looking for in there. Our living language, he is dumb, lacking the power. Eclipsed by the meaning of stupid. Appears that the Germans are responsible, that dumb has been eclipsed by the meaning stupid. German has a similar related word, dumm, that means stupid, and over. I always thought Spanish, Spanish. Maybe that's crazy, rather than stupid. Immigrants in the United States, the meaning of English dumb is doesn't write with Germans. Some words like kindergarten, Dachshund, and Schnapps still have a German feel or associated with, to some extent, with Germany. But others like bum, cookbook, fresh, meaning impertinent, rifle, and noodle have become so thoroughly Americanized their German origins may surprise some. Okay, here we go. Dumb is an adjective, slow to learn or understand, lacking intellectual acuity. So dense he never understands anything, I never met anybody quite so dim. Although dull at classical learning and mathematics, he was uncommonly quick. Dumb officials. Dumb from natural infirmity, unwillingness to speak. I'm not finding what I'm looking for. Maybe if we do it in the thesaurus. I could talk a little bit about rifles while this loads. Yesterday, Dove and Mark and I were in the sports store, the sporting goods store, one of the sporting goods stores in Helena, the Capital Sports, I think is what it's called. It's next door to the health food store. And it's a really fabulous sports store, and we've spent way much too much time in there because, like, rainy days and stuff. And just because we like looking at stuff, I guess. Could look at flies all day, like those different things you can cast into the river after fish. But anyhow, yesterday I was trying to give Mark some time to try on some shoes and clothes and things. So Dove and I were wandering around, and Dove wandered into the rifle section for the first time, the hunting section. Yeah, we've been having some amazing conversations out here. Like, he's just sort of starting to grasp this concept of things dying or being killed. I mean, I don't know that any of us totally grasp it, but anyhow, he's just starting to, like, understand that things die. And he also played for the first time. The neighbor's kids invited us over, and he played with some of their little pop guns. They didn't have the poppers in them, but. And so then he wanted to talk about bullets and guns in relation to dying and killing. And so we walked into the rifle section, and there they all were, these guns that are taller than he is. And they're all, like, you can just grab them and pick them up and hold them. They're all just out. And so he was asking, are these guns and are these to kill animals, people kill animals with these? And yes, and I was trying really hard to not be judgmental, and because he'll just be more fascinated with them. So So yeah, he was asking people kill animals with these and why, and I said so that they can eat them, and he was in there a long time, and as I said, the guns were taller than he was, everything was taller than he was, and so I'd walk a little bit, sort of hoping I could lead him out of that section, and I'd turn around and he'd be gone, and I'd say, "Dove, where are you, Dove?" And all of a sudden I became so self-conscious of his name, because there we are standing in the rifle section, me calling, "Dove, Dove, where are you, little dove bird?" Okay. Dumb, voiceless, impaired, inarticulate, incoherent, mousy, mum, mute, quiet, silent, soundless, speechless, tongue-tied, uncommunicative, wordless. Dumb, unintelligent, dense, dim-witted, dodo, doltish, dull, dumb, bunny, dumb head, dumb ox, dumb bell, dumb bow, dumb dumb, dummy, feeble-minded, foolish, moronic, numbskull, simple-minded, stupid, thick, dumb bell, stupid person, dodo, dolt, dullard, dumb, bunny, dumb cluck, dumb head, dumb ox, dumb bow, dumb dumb, dummy, dunce, idiot, ignoramus, moron, simpleton. Dumbfounded, astounded, agape, aghast, amazed, astonished, bamboozled, beat, bewildered, blown away, bowled over, breathless, buffaloed, interesting, confounded, confused, dismayed, dumb, flabbergasted, floored, knocked, licked, nonplussed, overcome, overwhelmed, puzzled, shocked, speechless, staggered, startled, stuck, stumped, stunned, surprised, taken aback, thrown, thunderstruck, struck. Blunder, boggle the mind. City, that's interesting. Noun, town, apple, boomtown, borough, burg, capital center, conurbation, downtown, dumb, hamlet, megalopolis, metropolis, metropolitan area, municipality, place, port, suburb, town, village. Dazzle, amaze, astonish, awe, bedazzled, blind, blur, bowl over, daze, excite, fascinate, glitz, hypnotize, impress, overpower, overwhelm, razzle, dazzle, strike, dumb, stupefy, surprise. Dense, doltish, dull, dumb, fat-headed, dim-witted, ignorant, imbecilic, impassive, lethargic, numbskulled, obtuse, phlegmatic, simple, slow, slow-witted, sluggish, stolid, thick, torpid. Dim, unintelligent, dense, doltish, dull, dumb, obtuse, slow, stupid, thick, weak-minded. I like this, like dazzle with the dazzle, like striking dumb, stupefying. I like that sort of in combination with something being dumb. It's interesting because I've been thinking about dumb so much more in relation to inanimate objects, or within relation to, it's not a move, like a dumb move, but like with yodeling, sort of a dumb practice or something. But I mean, yodeling is the opposite of speechless, but it is speechless in a way. Like, it's not linguistically, or it's not communicative in that sort of way. So it is kind of dumb, but with sound. To write that down so that I can remember it. So, on that note, I get up to do this. And going to find a good yodel for us to listen to. And if I was a really organized person, I would have put together a playlist of these things, but I figure out each time I broadcast a little bit more technology and a little bit more how to make it work. And this is from an album that we have called Flowers in the Wildwood, which is all female. It's put out by a German. I'm pretty sure it's put out by a German distributor. There are so many good ones on here. I think this is the one that has really good yodeling. So this is called I Left Her Standing There. And it's by the Deseric Sisters.
You ask me why I'm grieving. I'll tell you why I'm grieving. I'm grieving for the gal that done me wrong. So gather round and listen, and let's just see a lesson. You shouldn't never leave your gal alone. I left her standing there with a doodad in her hair, but I guess she didn't care so much for me. I heard that she was wed, and I wish that I was dead, but the chances are I live till 93. If you think this song is silly, go right ahead and laugh, but the heart in this hillbilly is busted right in half. I left her standing there with a doodad in her hair, but I guess she didn't care so much for me. The folks all tried to show me just why this gal would throw me if I should go and leave her by herself. But I just said, you're crazy, this gal of mine's a daisy, but now she's gone and put me on the shelf. Oh, left her standing there with a doodad in her hair. That's not when I came back, she became a bride. But when I got out of sight, oh, she didn't live the night, till someone else was sitting by her side. When she said goodbye, she whispered, you know I love you best. And I'll bet you bucks she whispered the same to all the rest. Father left her standing there with a doodad in her hair, but I guess she didn't care so much for me. Yo, yo, da, da,
oh yeah, so that was the Deseric Sisters, and it's off this album called Flowers in the Wildwood, which is a compilation of sort of female folk singers. So I'm not sure exactly about the exact origins of that song, but it's got excellent yodeling, for sure. There's not really... Yeah, there's not really a, whether you like yodeling or not, it's good yodeling, or it's they do it well, whether well means you enjoy it or don't enjoy it. So there's a few different things that I've been thinking about, but I thought I had asked my students, they're not my students anymore, you guys are my colleagues, with Ariel Goldberg, Katie Klein, Lauren Fabrizio, Ifite Abdus Salam, Ben Harrison, and Jennifer Leahy. There are many of them former students of mine that are now will be assisting teaching this summer high school program at NYU with me. And we put together a list of questions that everybody was to write in, five questions that we'll ask the participating high school students to answer. So it's a total of 35 questions, and the idea being, like, what would we like to know about them? And we're going to answer these questions ourselves and share them with the students. So it's this way of connecting, hopefully, with them a little more quickly, sort of like an interview. And I guess I was so impressed with the list of questions, and I had asked Jen and Lauren and Ife and Ben and Katie and Ariel if they would mind if I use these questions to talk to people at the open studio, but it just was so fast-paced at the open studio, and it seemed so important just to talk about Montana and the artist refuge and people, what brought them here, that we never even got close to these questions. But I just wanted to read through them because I think they're great questions. And so five questions were generated by each of us to make this total of 35 questions. So if someone were to write a totally sensationalized, unauthorized biography of you tonight, what would the title be? What is your wildest aspiration, no matter how unrealistic? What do you do well? What do you think you will miss the most while you are in New York studying photography? What do you like to eat? What do you not like to eat? When are you most content? Who do you admire? What sound do you love? What sound do you hate? What do you do to relax when you are stressed out? What skill do you wish you could instantly acquire? What's your favorite time of the day? What is your middle name? If you could be any animal, what would it be? If you were to write your memoir tonight, what would the title be? What is the most mysterious place you've been? What language would you like to be able to speak? What is a book you want to read but keep putting off, or only read half of, or only read the last page of? What has surprised you about New York City so far? What is your happiest memory? What is your favorite geometric shape? What do you like to sing in the shower? What is your favorite object? Would you rather get caught in the rain without an umbrella or carry an umbrella around and it never rain? What are you thinking about now? If you could design a subway advertisement for any company or cause, what would it be for and how would it look? If graffiti were legal, what would your tag in New York City be? What is the last thing you lost? What ultra-touristy place do you want to visit in New York City and in America? What's the best thing you've found on the street or thrown away, or found on the street thrown away by someone else? What do you like or enjoy about being a teenager? What is your zodiac sign? What is the strangest smell you've encountered since being here? What is your favorite thing about your home or the block where you live? So those are the 45 questions. It's nice to read them again also because it just reminds me some things. I feel like this idea of, like, what on the street would your tag be? And the strangest smell you've encountered also. The smells are very different here in Montana. I guess that's, like, doesn't need to be said, but it's much more subtle, at least where we are. And I was just having a conversation with Barbara earlier today about galleries and art and the art world, and, you know, in that conversation I completely forgot that so much of my inspiration comes from what's on the street, and I wonder if that's partially being here and there isn't that same sort of street action, that street dialogue, as in maybe a larger city, definitely in New York City, this sort of the city as gallery and interventions within that. And I find that to be the most sort of direct vein right now for me. And I'm pausing because I'm thinking about what I mean by that, but there's something like more immediately emotionally impacting seeing a lot of the work on the street and in that context and designed for that context and sort of commenting within that context. And there's just so, like, such a sense of urgency about it that is, like, it's very inspiring. And like, I am consistently interested in it, and it just didn't even come up in the conversation today. And I do think because it's sort of being out of that context and sort of thinking much more in relation to the internet, doing this project, and then also just in taking pictures, like that idea of being a photographer, and like photographs go into a gallery or they go onto a wall and that sort of. It's exciting to read through this again and think about that idea of, like, the conversation in the street. And as I'm saying that, I'm looking out onto the side of one of the buildings here where it says Hardware Mercantile Company. It's, like, painted onto the sides. There's some amazing, amazing paintings on the brick walls all over in these mining towns in Montana. And they're old advertisements. And this one, the Hardware Mercantile Company, I think below it has an advertisement for a kind of flower. And then right down below, if I look directly below in the building next door, there's sold by the Acme Quality King. And it says wallpaper, paint, and plaster. By Kay Weber Barry, and I love this, the Acme Quality kind. And there are these fabulous paintings. The building a couple doors down has the Merry Widow Mining Company advertisement on it. And the Merry Widow Mine, well, one, it's just such a lovely name, but the Merry Widow Mine is still operating now, and my understanding of it is it operates as a quote-unquote health mine now, where people come to enter the mine to sit in the radon environment, and with it being a cure for arthritis. And so there's this small industry in the town of people coming to get this radon cure. And so the mine has this great big, it looks sort of like a happy birthday dangly sign like a string with dangly letters on it. It says Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, widow. It's such a contradiction, like, of terms, but it's really nice. And then just the sign also in its fashion. There's something both so cheery and so chilling about all of it. I guess that's something like this idea of contradictions. Like, it seems like a, yeah, I have to think about it more. But I remember it, the other day, thinking about this, like, this seems like such a place of contradictions, like strong contradictions, like strong, intense environmentalism, and but also intense mining and sort of stripping the resources. And but then there's like this sort of like that's life, and it's in an acceptance of those, like living with such strong contradictions, and that just being one example. And it's I really like that. I really like, I mean, I don't really like that things are being environmentally disruptive. That's not what I mean, but I do like this idea of like acceptance that life is a series of contradictions, and a series in like an acceptance with that, and instead of one being good, one being evil, and sort of a righteousness that comes out of the good and evil concepts. So speaking of good and evil, I'll share with you another fairy tale that I picked from the Complete Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm to read. And I've been seeing a lot of sparrows and swallows and bluebirds, which, wow, they're so amazing looking. These look bright blue, purpley blue little birds that jump and chase bugs. And we were driving down a dirt road, and people, the bluebirds apparently come up in the summers and then winter further south. And so people build these special little houses in which they can nest, and we were driving past a ranch that had just a ton of these little houses, and it was dusk, and so there were birds chasing the bugs, and it was just really cool to watch. So there's been these bluebirds, the sparrows, the swallows. And I have to admit, I get sparrows and swallows mixed up, even though I aspire towards being a bird watcher. But I still, it's very like sort of on lazy, like, wow, fabulous terms, rather than more of an academic term. But so I chose this book about the sparrow. And just to digress further on the bluebirds, we stopped on our trip out in Wall, South Dakota, which anybody who's driven through South Dakota is very familiar with Wall Drug, at least their advertising, and probably a lot of people who've never been to South Dakota are familiar with it because so many people put the bumper stickers on their car. The Wall Drug bumper sticker. But we stopped in Wall, and we went to the Wall Drug, and I tried on this amazing pair of 1930s replica cowboy boots that had bluebird cutouts in them, and they really were fabulous. And apparently Gene Autry had a pair cut from the same exact pattern. Speaking of yodelers, the fairy tale about the faithful sparrow. Once upon a time, there was a deer that gave birth to a young doe, and she asked the fox to be the godfather. But the fox invited the sparrow to be the godfather with him. In turn, the sparrow wanted the dog, his special friend, to join them. However, the dog had been tied up with a rope by his master because the dog had one time come home very drunk. The sparrow told him that was not a problem. He picked up the threads of the rope until the dog could break free. Then they went to the godfather's feast together and enjoyed themselves very much. But the dog was careless and drank too much wine again. When he had to go home, he tottered along the way and finally lay down in the middle of the road. Just then a wagoner came down the road and wanted to drive right over him. "Wagoner, don't do it," the sparrow cried, "or it will cost you your life." But the wagoner did not listen to him and drove the horses right over the dog, and the wheels of the wagon broke the dog's legs. The fox and the sparrow dragged their friend home, but when his master saw the dog, he realized he was dead and gave the dog to the wagoner to bury him. The wagoner loaded the dog into the wagon and drove off, but the sparrow flew right behind him and cried out, "Wagoner, this will cost you your life." Soon the sparrow landed on the head of one of the horses and cried out, "Wagoner, this will cost you your life." The wagoner became angry, reached for his axe, and pulled it out. But the sparrow flew into the air, and when the wagoner swung his axe, he hit the horse's head instead, and it fell down dead. So he continued driving with the other two, and the sparrow came again and landed on the head of another horse and cried out, "Wagoner, this will cost you your life." The wagoner swung at the sparrow again, but he hit the other horse, which fell down dead. The same thing happened to the third horse because the wagoner was so furious that he did not wait very long and hit right away. Now all his horses were dead, and he had to leave the wagon standing on the road. Angry and filled with hate, he went home and sat down beside the oven. But the sparrow had flown there and was now sitting outside his window. "Wagoner, it will cost you your life," the sparrow cried. The wagoner grabbed his axe and chopped through the window, but he failed to hit the sparrow, who flew into the room and landed on the oven. "Wagoner, this will cost you your life," the sparrow cried. Enraged, the wagoner smashed the oven to smithereens, and the sparrow hopped from place to place. The wagoner destroyed everything in the house, including the walls. Finally, he caught the sparrow. "Now I've got you." He took the bird in his mouth and swallowed him down. However, the sparrow began to flap his wings in the wagoner's body, and he flapped his wings until he rose up to the wagoner's mouth, stuck his head outside, and cried, "Wagoner, this will cost you your life." Then the wagoner gave the axe to his wife. "Wife, kill that bird in my mouth." But she missed her mark and hit the man on top of his head so that he fell down and was dead on the spot. However, the sparrow flew away.
Nothing else but grieving, grieving over you. begin a holler low. Then we stay here on this old river, being treated like a dirty dog. Little birdie, what makes you fly so high? What makes you fly so high? It's because I have a true little heart, and I don't care to
sparrows, most of these have unstreaked breasts. Black-throated sparrow, black throat, white face strips. Higher sparrow, adult, black face and crown. Black bib, immature, buffy face, dark breast splotch. Black-chinned sparrow, male, gray head, black, surrounding pink bill. Female, gray head, no black on face. White-crowned sparrow, adult striped crown, grayish throat, immature brown and buff head stripes, pink or yellow bill. White-throated sparrow, adult striped crown, white throat, immature striped crown, white throat. Golden-crowned sparrow, adult yellow crown bordered with black, immature house sparrow-like, see text. Sage sparrow, white outlining gray cheek, dark stick pin. Lark sparrow, quail, head pattern, stick pin, white and tail. Field sparrow, rusty cap, pink bill. Tree sparrow, rusty cap, dark stick pin. Rufous crowned sparrow, rufous cap, black whisker mark. Swamp sparrow, adult, rusty cap, gray breast, white throat, immature, dull breast streaking. Chipping sparrow, adult, rusty cap, white eyebrow stripe, immature, gray rump, see text. Clay-colored sparrow, adult, striped crown, brown ear patch, immature, buffy rump, see text. Brewer's sparrow, crown solid, finely streaked. Voice. Song, a constant tinkling and pitting, sometimes running into a dry rattle, very unlike Song of Cassines. Where found? Southeast Arizona, south tip of Texas, to south of Mexico. Winters, south of U.S., habitat in Arizona, coarse desert grass in south Texas, brushy coastal prairie, nest on ground. Eggs, 3 to 5 in white. Cassin sparrow. Field marks. Note the skylarking song, a plain grayish sparrow of open country, underparts dingy white or buffy white without markings, or with a touch of streaking on the lower sides. Its dull grayish upper parts obscurely marked with brown and unmarked breast are the best clues. Similar species, other obscure, clear-breasted sparrows of open country. Grasshopper is brown or more contrastingly striped on back, has buffier breast, median crown stripe. Brewer's is chippy-like, notched tail striped, buff and black above. Bottery is very local, does not skylark. Voice. Song, quite sweet, one or two short opening notes, a high sweet trill and two lower notes. Ti-ti-tsi-te-te. Vaguely suggestive of savanna sparrow, often skylarks or flutters into the air, giving the trill at the climax. Breeds from southeast Arizona, northwest New Mexico, western Kansas to northeast Mexico. Winters from southeast Arizona west and south Texas south. casual Nevada, Colorado habitat, arid, grassy country with bushes, nest, a deep cup on the ground, eggs, 3 to 4 white. Black-throated sparrow, desert sparrow, field marks, note the face pattern, a pretty gray desert sparrow with white underparts, white face stripes and jet black throat, sexes similar. Young birds lack black throat but have cheek pattern, breast finely streaked. Similar species. Black-throated gray warbler, similar face pattern, has wing bars, warbler bill. 2. Young birds somewhat resemble sage sparrow. Song a sweet chee-chee-chee-chee. 2 short, clear opening notes and a fine trill in a lower or higher pitch. Where found? Breeds east of Sierra from southeast Oregon. North Nevada, South Idaho, Southwest Wyoming, Northwest Oklahoma, through deserts to northern Mexico, migrant in north parts of range, habitat, arid brush, creosote, bush, deserts, Cholla gardens, nest, a loose cup in bush or cactus, eggs, 3 to 4 white. Sage sparrow. Field marks. A gray sparrow of arid brush. Note the combination of single breast spot and dark whiskers on side of throat. Dark cheek with white eye ring and whitish line over eye. A race, western. A race resident of the Sierra, of the west of the Sierra in California. Bell sparrow was until recently regarded as a distinct species. It is much darker with a heavier black whiskers. Voice, song, a simple set pattern, tsi-tsu-tsi-tsay. 3rd note, highest, song of belly race, 4 to 7 notes, forming a jerky but somewhat melodic phrase. Higher notes with a squeaky sibilant tone, lower notes, tinkling. Where found, breeds from eastern Washington, southern Idaho, west Wyoming, south to Baja California, southern Nevada, northern Arizona, northwest New Mexico, winters from California, Nevada, southwest Utah, New Mexico, south to New Mexico, northern New Mexico. Casual in northwest coast belt and east of Rockies habitat. Dry, brushy foothills, open chaparral, sage brush plains in winter, also deserts nest, a loose cup and bush. Eggs 3 to 4 speckled. Tree sparrow, field marks to identify with, winter chippy, note the single dark spot or stick pin on the breast and the solid red-brown cap, bill dark above, yellow below, 2 white wing bars, similar species, sea chipping sparrow, voice, song, sweet, variable, open on 1 or 2 high, clear notes, note, seat, feeding note, a musical teal wit, where found, Alaska, northern Canada, winter, southern Canada, to Central U.S., west, breeds from Arctic slope to northern British Columbia, south Mackenzie, north Saskatchewan, winters from south Canada, south mainly east of Cascade Sierra to southern Nevada, northern Arizona, central New Mexico, west Texas, habitat, Arctic scrub, willow thickets in winter, brush, roadsides, weedy edges, nest, a feathered lined cup on ground or in bush. I'm starting to think that the birds that I've been seeing are swallows and not sparrows, although there's about 5 more pages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more pages on sparrows. These, both the song and the reading, the field guide to Western birds, this is right after I said I wasn't being academic about my bird watching, but it's a good time to look those things up. Makes me think about the yodeling as well. And how the yodeling is bird-like. was listening to some poets read last night, from a recording from, I don't have the CD right in front of me, Not Fit for the White House. There was a poetry reading, a poet who was uninvited from the White House after the Bushes had invited him, and I'm not remembering names, so I'm not using names, but a poet that was invited to a luncheon at the White House by Laura Bush solicited poetry from many other American poets that spoke to the times, and this was right about when we were going to begin sending troops into Iraq. There was this threat of war, and they were enraged, dissatisfied poems. And once Laura Bush gained knowledge that this was happening, she uninvited the poet to the White House because she did not want this poetry to be read there. So at Lincoln Center, the organization Not in Our Name organized a reading of these poems, many by the poets themselves, and it is one of the most amazing events I've ever attended in my life. And there's something about words, being somebody who comes from a visual language, there's something about words and poetry that is so immediate in that same way, so urgent in that same way, talking about that is for me in that same way that the work, the visual work on the street is, and that, so much of that visual work on the street is words as well, so it's street poetry in its way. But so I was listening to some of those poems again last night, and so struck by one of the poets talking about this perfection in a moment, being in his home and his family sleeping, and just like feeling so full of the perfection of that moment, like being with the people he loves and his home and everybody sleeping, which we all know is so full of, like watching somebody you love sleep, it's like it's so full of exquisite feelings. And he talks about the perfection of this, of a moment, and something that I've been thinking about out here as well, because I've been allowed the privilege of moments, both by being able to be at such a quiet residency, and then also by Mark allowing me the time and space to be alone and have moments, because as anybody who's a parent of a small child knows, that they're few, like the moments alone are few and far between, and by choice, but it's nice to step out of that for a few weeks to revitalize and step back in. I would like to play one of those poems, but I think it's too complicated to find them within my system here. So instead I'll tell you that we got our library card for the Boulder Library. Their system had been down for about a week, and now we finally got our cards. So we got a couple of kids' books out yesterday. And I also just wanted to share what the businesses are in Basin. On the strip where we're living, and there's the Leaning Tower of Pizza, which is a pizza parlor. We haven't, I've had their root beer, but we haven't had pizza there yet. There's the High Note, which is Breyer's restaurant down the street, which I think I've mentioned a few times, but it's fabulous. It's open 3 mornings a week for breakfast, and it's true to its name. It's very good restaurant. And then there's the Life and Liberty bookstore, which is a couple doors down, which I've yet to encounter open. But a few people have told me about it, and it's a libertarian, right-wing Christian book shop. And I'm curious to go in to have a look around. Maybe I'll find something for reading online. And then there's the Merry Widow Mine, which I mentioned before, the Health Mine, which is not right on the strip, but it is in Basin. And then there's 2 other shops that I know of. There's one, a ceramics pottery shop, and one is sort of like a, one's called Sticks and Stones. It's kind of a knick-knack shop down the street. And today, what's today? Today is Thursday. I think the only thing that's open is the Leaning Tower of Pizza today. They're closed on Mondays. Breyer's open Friday through Sunday mornings. The bookstore, I don't know that she keeps hours regular. And the same with the Sticks and Stones and the ceramic shop. I don't know that they have any set hours. So I think this is going to end today's broadcast. I'll play a little bit more music here. And thank you for listening in. I want to thank everybody who's been emailing comments, and it's been great to hear your feedback and to know that we're connected across oceans and continents. And yeah, I look forward to, I will update the schedule, and I'm sure it's flexible. I'm going to have to add in another day of broadcasting to speak. I think there'll be another day or two possibly of broadcasting to speak with everybody that I'd like to within the town, which is good to have a day to sort of get through the materials that I was hoping to get through and share some observations from being here.
laying low. My true lover went to sail on the sea. It was in the month of June, and the roses were in bloom, when he took me in his arms and said to me,
"You're a flower that is blooming in the wild wood, flower that is blooming there for me, sweeter than the morning dew, and I'll soon return to you. You're a flower that is blooming there for me."
Then a letter came to me from the captain on the sea, and he told me my lover was dead. Oh, the shock and surprise made the teardrops in my eyes when I thought about the last words that he said.
"You're a flower that is blooming in the wild wood, flower that is blooming there for me, sweeter than the morning dew, and I'll soon return. You're a flower that is blooming there for me."
Now we've drowned in the sea, and it can't come back to me. He has done passed over life weary way. When it's in the month of June, and the roses are in bloom, it seems that I can hear my lover say,
"You're a flower that is blooming in the wild wood, flower that is blooming there for me, sweeter than the morning dew, and I'll soon return to you. You're a flower that is blooming there for me."
Lived a gal named Nancy Brown. You never seen such beauty in city or in town. Nancy and the teacher climbed the mountainside one noon. They got up near the summit, but very, very soon she came rolling down the mountain, Lord, she came rolling down the mountain. She came rolling down the mountain from above, for she left her bold companion to the coyotes in the canyon when the feller tried to tell her words of love. She was sitting knitting woolen undies for her dad when she beheld a cowboy in a Sunday suit of plaid. "How'd you like to hike, dear?" he remarked and raised his hat. Again she climbed the mountain, but shortly after that she came rolling down the mountain, Lord, she came rolling down the mountain. She came rolling down the mountain high and wide. When he tried to get to Pally, Nancy hid it for the valley, for she wouldn't vow to be a cowboy's bride. Then a city slicker who had $100 bills came riding in his auto to the West Virginia hills. Nancy looked him over, thinking as a man for me. She stepped into his roadster, and the rest is history. Oh, she stayed up in the mountain, oh, she stayed up in the mountain. Oh, she stayed up in the mountain with delight, for that handsome city slicker made her girlish heart beat quicker, and the pappy chased the hussy out of sight. Nancy and the slicker, they were married right away. She got a diamond bracelet on her happy wedding day. Though she's in the city, she remembers now and then the lovers who pursued her and the many moments when she came rolling down the mountain, Lord, she came rolling down the mountain. She came rolling down the mountain by the still Oh, her life is beer and skittles, and she's eating dandy beetles, and she owes it all to West Virginia Hill.
They stood on the beach one evening, out in the moonlight fur. Was a boy in the pride of manhood, and a girl in beauty rare. I never thought that you loved me, an innocent look of surprise crept out from beneath her lashes and into those deep brown eyes. Oh, sir, I was only a playing a part, just another boy's life ruined, just another broken heart. Crowd of pacers, always bitter and cold, just another boy grown weary, just another boy grown old. White rose is the emblem of peace, and when I am dead, little darling, plant that rose at my head and my feet. Oh, sir, I was only a playing a part, just another boy's life ruined, just another broken heart.
Plum is roundup time in Texas, and bloom is on the sage. Let alone to be in Texas, back riding on the range. Just smell the bacon frying when sizzling in the pan. Hear the breakfast horn in the early morn, drinking coffee from a can. Just riding, rocking, roping, pounding leather all day long. Just swaying, sweating, swearing, listening to a cowhand song. How it beckons, and I reckon I would work for any wage. To be free again, just to be again, while the bloom is on the sage. Let alone to be in Texas, back to riding on the range. Just smell the bacon frying when sizzling in the pan. Hear the breakfast horn in the early morn, drinking coffee from a can. Just riding, rocking, roping, pounding leather all day long. Just swaying, sweating, swearing, listening to a cowhand song. I was beckons and I reckon I would work for any wage. To be free again, just to be again, while the bloom is on the sage.
Upon the throttle stick, his head out the path. Get a roll.